Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Come on, you can be seated today. And it is Father's Day, so I thought just for a minute before we got into the Word that I could just, I have a microphone, I can. I want to share my top three favorite dad jokes. Is that okay? If you didn't say it's okay, that's too late. Some of our team, they did some dad jokes on social media. You should go check them out. They're pretty funny. But here's why I think it's good. How many of you guys know that as the people of God, we should laugh together? We should have joy together. The Bible tells us that laughter is like medicine for our soul. And so I want to share on this Father's Day my top three favorite dad jokes. And I'm going to ask you to laugh because they're just like you laugh at all my pastor jokes, because they're basically the same. And if you say, well, pastor, I don't really laugh at your pastor jokes. Well, then how about your Father's Day gift to me today is that you laugh. And if you say we shouldn't be laughing at church, then you're probably a Steelers fan. Can I get a witness? Come on, let's go. Okay, here are my top three favorite dad jokes. What does a baby computer call his father? Data. So terrible. I know, it's so good though. So good. I laughed so hard when I read that one. Okay, here's my other one. Why is it a bad idea to eat a clock? Because it's so time consuming. Oh my. That was ruthless, man. Okay. Here's my last one. I promise the Word of God is so much better than these dad jokes. Why should you never brush your teeth with your left hand? Because the toothbrush works better. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Some of you get that one later. All right, so it's Father's Day. Here's what's great. Is anybody thankful that we have a Heavenly Father? I am so grateful on a day like today that we are not orphans in the spirit, but we are the sons and daughters of God in the earth. And so I'm thankful that God is not just Jesus' Father, but he is also our Father. You can see in God's Word, it's true, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. 1 John 3:1 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Come on, if you're thankful to be the son or daughter of God in the earth, somebody give the Lord praise today in this house, that we're the children of God together. And what's amazing is, listen, I know that that word father invokes different reactions and emotions for each person, because the truth is, some of us have had great earthly fathers and others of us have not. And if you haven't had a good earthly father, with all sincerity, I'm so sorry, but can I encourage you and tell you and remind you that God is a father to the fatherless, and our Heavenly Father really is perfect in all of his ways. And even if your earthly father let you down, please know today that you have a Heavenly Father that will never let you down. You have a Heavenly Father specifically, are you ready? That he never leaves you and he never stops loving you. He never leaves you and he never stops loving us. He is such a good father. And thanks to Chris Tomlin, every time I say good father, I want to say good father. So I'm going to refrain from doing that today. But I think about that every time I get ready to do that. But I want to talk about today, because we have such a good father. How many of you guys know, since we're his kids, he likes to give us gifts. He's a good dad and he likes to give us gifts that we should enjoy and steward well in the earth. Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, James 1:17 confirms that God gives gifts to us. And listen, they are not gifts that you want to return. They are gifts that you want to keep and enjoy in every part of your life. He's given us the gift of life. He's given us the gift of bearing his image in the earth. He's given us a body. He's given us a soul. He's given us spirits. He's given us love and joy and peace and forgiveness and hope and identity and purpose and destiny and salvation. He gives us talents and abilities. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the list goes on and on. But I want to remind us as we get in this today about a specific truth regarding the gifts of God in our lives. And it's this. It's that anything that is God-given must be God-governed. Anything that is God-given must be God-governed. In order for God's gifts to truly bless us and function the way they were designed, those gifts must be governed within God's standards and boundaries. They must be governed within God's standards and boundaries. How many of you guys know the boundaries of God are not barriers in your life? They are blessings in your life. The boundaries of God are blessings in your life. And I want us to see this, why what I said is so true. Because listen, as soon as God's gifts to us stop being God-governed, what was designed to enhance our lives can end up entrapping them. What was designed to enhance our lives can end up entrapping our lives if those gifts stop being governed by the boundaries of God. Now, this is absolutely true about two specific gifts that we're talking about today, because there are two God gifts that we need to continue to understand and recognize that we must grow in our and how we apply them in every part of our lives and steward them in our lives. There's two things, our spirituality and our sexuality. Our spirituality and our sexuality, two gifts from God. Let me ask this question. How many of you guys know that spirituality and sexuality are not man's idea? Men did not create those things. God created those things, and he put the understanding in our hearts that we might know what those things are. These are gifts given by our heavenly Father. So I want to talk about these today through the lens of purity. Somebody shout purity. How many of you guys remember from last week, our God commands us to be pure in every part of our lives, to choose purity in every part of who we are. So what is spirituality? In biblical context, spirituality is the relationship between God and man. Spirituality is the relationship between God and man. So let's review something for a minute. How many of you guys know we serve a triune God? He eternally exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You can go read Ephesians 4, Matthew chapter 3, where you can see the Father, the Son, who is Jesus, and the Spirit. We serve a triune God. Well, also we have to recognize that as God is a triune God, did you know he made us triune beings? Just like we have a God represented in three persons as beings, we have three parts to us. You can go read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You can read 1 Corinthians 15, but I just want to share one verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. It says, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body. Puts you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our master. How many of you guys know it's only because of the grace of God that we could stay ready to receive Jesus when he's ready to come and get his church? But I see something. Our triune God, he literally made us in three distinct parts, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And this is important as we unpack what we're looking at today, as we continue to tear down some of the lies that our world is telling us and specifically telling our sons and daughters in this season. And you say, Pastor, why is this series so important? Because if we do not educate ourselves against the devices of the enemy, we will stay silent and the world will teach our kids instead of us teaching our kids. And we must teach our kids biblical truth and value so they can fulfill the calling and assignment in their lives. If you believe that, somebody say amen. But I want us to see this morning. We are three parts. Our body. God gave us bodies so we could relate to creation. God gave us bodies so we could relate to creation. God gave us a soul, our mind, will, and emotions. That's what makes up our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. God gave us souls so we could relate to creation, but also relate to him. And then finally, spirits. God gave us spirits. God gave us spirits so we could relate specifically to him. God gave us spirits so we could specifically relate to him. And so I need us to see this morning, that we have flesh and we have a soul, but the truth is we are a spirit. We have a body, we have a soul, but we are spirits. And I don't know about you, but what a gift that God would create us in such a way that we could relate specifically to him. Isn't it amazing that he was so detailed in creating you and me? He created us in such a way that we could relate specifically to him. Because the truth is, if God didn't love us, he would have just given us bodies with no understanding or revelation of him or eternity. But God loved us more than that, didn't he? God loved us so much, church, that he desires relationship with us. And so God made us spirits, and then he gave us a soul and a body. But see this, he made us spirits, and he gave us this gift of spirituality, able to connect with him in order for us to have a real and intimate relationship with him. He gave us the gift of spirituality so we could have a real and intimate relationship with him. Is anybody thankful for your relationship with God? That you have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And here's what's amazing, church. When spirituality is governed by our Heavenly Father, there is a kingdom life that we can experience that we find in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, we are complete through our union with Christ. We are complete. Anybody thankful that Jesus makes you complete? Come on, money does not complete you. Relationships don't complete you. Fame, notoriety, none of those things complete you. But it is Jesus who completes you and me from the inside out. And when spirituality, the gift of spirituality, is governed by God, we can live that life of knowing completion through Jesus. Conversely, when spirituality is not governed by God, can I tell you, it can be corrupted. When spirituality is not governed by God, it can be corrupted by demonic spirits that roam the earth. And listen to me, what happens when those demonic spirits step into an ungoverned gift of spirituality, all of a sudden the intimate real relationship with the Father gets corrupted by cheap counterfeit gods, experiences, and idols that we allow into our lives. Those things are real. That's why we must understand that the gift of spirituality must be governed by God, because it's his gift to us. That we must choose purity. Somebody say purity. And so see this now. So we want to make sure that spirituality is governed by God. Now let's talk about sexuality for a minute. Because just like spirituality is the gift given by God for us to relate to God, let's talk about sexuality. Sexuality refers to God's design and pattern for the procreative and pleasurable facet of relationship between males and females. That's the truth about the gift of sexuality. Now, I know some of you might want to include gender in that, but listen, gender refers more to the biological differences in males and females. We're not talking about that today. But I want you to see the gift of sexuality, God's design and pattern for the procreative and pleasurable facet of relationship between males and females. Now, how many of you guys know the gift of sexuality and the gift of sex is a wonderful thing in the right context? Come on, you guys just missed your best amen chance all day. Come on. The gift of sexuality and the gift of sex is a wonderful thing in the right context. And listen, what a loving father we have, that he desires for us to have enjoyment and experience pleasure in our bodies and souls. Listen, and not just sexually, but God desires us to experience pleasure with athletics and leisure activities and the arts and even friendship. Because you see, just like God is a God of purity, God is also a God of pleasure. And if you say, Pastor, that's not true, well then let's look at Psalm 16 verse 11, because it just told you that you were wrong. Let's look. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. God is a God. He wants us to experience pleasure in facets of our life according to his word and to his will. He created us to experience pleasure. Listen, he created us to experience pleasure in our lives as long as it is clothed in purity. He created us to experience pleasure in our lives as long as it is clothed in purity. Somebody say amen if you know that's the word. So see something. God gave sexuality as a gift to humanity, and it is a part of our lives. God gave sexuality as a gift to humanity, and it is a part of our lives. However, this is where the people of God should understand that we see things differently than the world, because our lens is through ones of biblical foundation and purity. So listen to me. However, the gift of sexuality does not define us. The gift of sexuality does not define us. This is very significant, Makers Church, because we are now consistently seeing, hearing, and being told that identity can be found in and through sexuality. How many of you guys know that's true? We are now being told consistently that identity can be found in and through sexuality. But I must remind the body today that biblically, that is not accurate. Biblically, this is not my opinion. Biblically, that is not true. We are not body, soul, and sex. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are spiritual beings, not sexual beings. Come on, somebody, help me out now. We are spiritual beings, not sexual beings. Listen to me. God never intended for humans to associate sexuality with identity. He never intended for humans to associate sexuality with identity. Listen to me. Let me preach this for a minute. You do not discover who you are under the covers in a bedroom. You discover who you are when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. That's when you discover who you are. That's when you find out who God really designed you to be. Let me go further. Identity is not found through sexual intercourse with another human. Identity is found through spiritual intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Our identity is found with spiritual intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Our identity is not found in our sexuality. Our identity is found in our spirituality, in our relationship with God through the gift of salvation. That's our identity. If you believe that, somebody say amen. That's our identity. So what does that mean? That means, Makers Church, that we are more than our attractions and desires. We are more than our attractions and desires. Listen, you are more than a physical body with a specific anatomy. You're more than that. You may have that, but you are not that. Can I keep going? Can I keep teaching? Because of Jesus, listen, you're more than your attractions and desires. You're more than a physical body. Because of Jesus, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. You're a child in the family of God. You're a servant in the kingdom. You're a soldier in God's army. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are chosen, royal, holy, and special. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's masterpiece in the earth. Come on, somebody. You're a disciple maker. You're a difference maker. You're a history maker in the earth for the kingdom of God. That is who you are. Regardless of what a world says, our identity is not found in sexuality. Our identity is found in the spiritual revelation that God is our Father and we are His sons and daughters in the earth. That's the revelation that we must understand and walk in as the people of God in the earth in a very chaotic and confusing time in humanity. But while I'm here, I want to go even further for a minute, because Genesis chapter 1:27 is clear. God made you in His image. Male or female. Is that clear enough? Genesis 1:27. You can go read it. God made you in His image. Male or female, He created you. He created you. Listen to me. When God created you, God did not make a mistake that you need to correct. When He created you, God did not make a mistake that you need to correct. You just heard Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God doesn't make mistakes. He makes masterpieces. He doesn't make mistakes. He makes masterpieces. God doesn't say, oops, I meant to do that different. I'll do better next time. Our God doesn't do that. Listen, he can't do better because he always does best. He can't do better because he always does best. Listen and don't forget this. God does best and knows best. Everybody say that with me. Is it on the screen? Throw that on the screen. I know I made a slide for it. God does best, and if you don't have it, that's fine too. God does best. And maybe I didn't. And I need to do better. God does best and knows best. Tell your neighbor, say, God does best and knows best. There it is. God does best and knows best. God does best and knows best. If you believe that, somebody say amen. See, here's the truth. For some of you in the room, you say, Pastor, this seems pretty simple and straightforward. And the question must be asked, why has this biblical truth about spirituality and sexuality gotten so twisted and tainted? Why have these biblical truths about spirituality and sexuality gotten so twisted and tainted? Here's why. Because when godly gifts are not clothed in purity, they can become corrupted with perversion. When godly gifts are not clothed in purity, they can become corrupted with perversion. When humanity does not allow the gifts of God to be governed by God, that's when Satan brings chaos and confusion through demonic spirits. Let me give you two, like humanism and intellectualism. You guys know what those things are? You ever heard those things, those phrases, those words? Those are demonic spirits that dominate so many people in the earth. Let me talk about them quickly. When I say humanism, here is humanism. Humanism is the view that we can make sense of the world using reason and sharing our human values and experience life to the fullest without God. That's humanism. That's a demon. How many of you guys know if it's without God, it's a demonic spirit? But there's a spirit of humanism that is plaguing so much of humanity. But there's also one called intellectualism. Intellectualism is defined as belief in the supremacy of intellect. I got news for everybody. There is only one supreme thing in this universe, and it is G-O-D. It is God. He is supreme. Jesus is the supreme one over the body, over the earth. He bought it with his blood. But listen, intellectualism is defined as the belief in the supremacy of intellect. It is the doctrine that all knowledge is derived from pure reason. And here's what's unfortunate about these two demonic spirits. They claim purity in reasoning, but they've actually been poisoned by Satan. They claim purity in reasoning, but they've actually been poisoned by Satan. Pastor, how do you know? Because both of these spirits are forms of pride. And we talked about pride last week. God hates the spirit of pride. God hates and detests the spirit of pride. So listen to me, Makers Church. We must continue to choose to pursue purity. We must choose to pursue purity in our spirituality and in our sexuality. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We must choose to pursue purity in our sexuality and our spirituality, but specifically and especially in our sexuality. Here's why. Satan has and continues to try and defile humanity through sexual immorality. Come on, let's talk about it for a minute. It's true. We need to talk about it more. Satan continues to try and defile humanity through sexual immorality. Listen, in a myriad of directions. Not just in one specific way, but in many ways he tries to defile humanity. And this is true. I want you to hear something, because some of you say, Pastor, I never believed that my sexuality was even a part of my identity or any of those things. But listen to me, a lack of purity in your sexuality will not just affect your spirituality, it will infect your spirituality. Breathe that in for a minute. The church needs to hear it. We don't see the fullness of God for so many reasons, but one of them is we do not live the pure lives that God intends for us to. One more time, let's see it. A lack of purity in your sexuality will not just affect your spirituality, it will infect your spirituality. It will infect it with the things of the world. So here's the truth. Sexual immorality is just as wrong in heterosexual lifestyles as it is in homosexual lifestyles. See, this is the part we want to talk about, how God has a stance against certain things, but it comes to the streets where we live, we get quiet. But the truth is that sexual immorality is just as wrong in a heterosexual lifestyle as it is in a homosexual lifestyle. If it's immoral, it's not the Lord. If it goes against purity, it's not of God. And if we are the people of God and God commands us to live in purity, regardless of whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, if it's not pure and moral, it is not of the Lord, and it does not belong in our hearts, it does not belong in our minds, and it does not belong in our lives. We've got to see this because we like to get on our soapboxes and talk about those hot button issues and say, well, God said this and God said this, but we have no problem giving ourselves grace when we struggle with different things and nobody knows about them. So we got to talk about it, because God desires us to be a pure people, to live in the fullness of what he offers us as his kingdom sons and daughters. And if you believe that, somebody say amen. So let's keep going. God condemns all sexual immorality, whether heterosexual or homosexual in nature. And I want us to look at our word this morning, which is our foundation. And I want to start with two verses that we saw last week as we build. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Well, Pastor, I'm mad it's in the world. The world doesn't know better. This is this whole thing we're gonna have to get into later in this series. Stop getting mad at a world that does not know the standards of God. We sit there and point our finger. Listen, when you point your finger, you help not at all. How about pray for them instead? But see this, for the people of God, look at the text. Among you, there must not be, listen, among you, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed. Such sins have no place among God's people. Let's go to Ephesians 5, two verses down, verses 5 and 6. Look at this. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Look at this one. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Listen to me. I love you, the Lord loves you, and God is not looking at us saying, you better be perfect. But do not get to a place where you try to excuse the things that God says do not do. Everybody clear on that one? That's not even my opinion, that's the word. We can't make excuses for what God says don't do. You say, well, Pastor, I wanna make an excuse because it makes me feel better. No, honey, go repent, that'll make you feel better. Go ask the God who forgives everything to forgive you. That will not just make you feel better, it'll make you in right relationship with the Father again. But see how clear the text is. But let's go deeper, because we have to understand about sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, look at this. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Pastor, why can't they inherit the kingdom of God? Because those things aren't included in the kingdom of God. They're not included in the kingdom. Pastor, God's being hard. Nuh-uh. They're his standards, it's his kingdom, and it's his way. So we have to say, instead of letting this frustrate us, say, Lord, let us operate with a heart of purity so we can honor what you've called us to walk in. But see the truth of God's word. Everybody with me? Come on, let's keep going. We got more scriptures we got to look at. How about Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21? It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. What is adultery? Adultery is having sex to someone that you're not married to outside of your marriage covenant. What is fornication? Fornication is when you have sex and you're not married at all. See this. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I know these are sobering scriptures, but we've got to stop acting like they're not in God's word. We've got to stop pretending that these things don't apply to us because we've been coming to church for 20 years, or because we pay our tithes, or because we serve in the church, or because we've done good for other people. All those things are wonderful. God commands us to do all those things, but you do not get a pass on the other things God said do or don't do. Notice what he said. And how many of you guys know this is not a person giving their opinion? Because the truth is while people may have penned down these words, the Holy Spirit authored these words. He says, anybody who practices these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's go further. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. I know some of you are like, Pastor, can we just move on from these scriptures, please? We got to talk about it, Makers Church. And after we talk about it, we got to apply it to our lives. And then we have to apply it to our family and to our home. And we've got to teach our children and raise them in the standards of God in every part of their lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. God's will is for you to be set apart for him in holiness, and that you keep yourselves unpolluted from sexual defilement. Yes, each of you must guard your sexual purity. Right there. Is someone else going to guard your sexual purity? Mm-mm. You do it. You better guard the purity of your babies, though. You better pay attention to what they watch on television, mom and dad. You better pay attention to the apps they're on your phone when you just want some peace and quiet for a minute, mom and dad. You better understand that you have a responsibility to the Lord until they get to that age where they understand right and wrong, where you do everything you can to protect them and keep their minds in a pure and holy place. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Each of you must guard your sexual purity with holiness and dignity, not yielding to lustful passions like those who don't know God. Never take selfish advantage of a brother or a sister in this matter, for we have already told you and solemnly warned you that the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Somebody needs to tell Iron Man and Captain America to sit down for a minute. We don't need them. We got an avenger. His name's Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's a good preacher joke right there. I lost my place. Hang on. Here we go. For God's call on our lives is not to a life of compromise and perversion. For God's call on our lives is not to a life of compromise and perversion, but to a life surrounded in holiness. Purity. How many of you guys know holiness and purity and I can't even think of the word I want to use. Holiness and purity, they go together. You can't be pure and not be holy, and you cannot be holy and be impure. They go together. See what the text says. For God's call in our lives is to not live a life of compromise and perversion, but to a life surrounded in holiness. Now, here's the last one. Therefore, whoever rejects this instruction isn't rejecting human authority, but God himself, who gives us his precious gift, his spirit of holiness. Pastor, I don't live my life that way because I don't think I should. Honey, you're not rejecting man's opinion. If you reject this, you are rejecting God himself. So I hate to burst your bubble. You can't say that you confess with your mouth and believe that Jesus is the Lord of your life and that God raised him from the dead and then reject God's standards. If you think that is salvation, you are not going to heaven. I'm sorry. It's very clear. We have to do what God says. I'll be honest with you. It's sad to know that we still have to say that. That we still have to say we have to do what God says. Not what CNN says, not what Fox News says, not what our president says, not what education says. No, we have to do what God says. He is the one that we are committed to. Pastor, why do we do what God says? Who else died for you and gave you the hope of eternity? We have to do what God says. And so what does he say right here? He says you must commit to living a life of holiness, your life surrounded in holiness. So listen to me, Makers Church. Just like God detests the spirit of pride, he detests sexual immorality. Just like God detests the spirit of pride, he detests sexual immorality. It does not matter what the spirits of this world say. Lust is not okay. Lust is not okay. Listen to me. Pornography is not okay. Sex outside of marriage is not okay. Adultery is not okay. Homosexuality is not okay. Bisexuality is not okay. Transgenderism is not okay. And those are not our rules, and those are not our opinions. Those are God's words and God's standards. And if they're not okay with him, they cannot be okay with us. But if he says, don't do it, we say, yes, Lord, we won't do it. We won't do it. Now, I want to say something because I think this is important. Even though God detests sexual immorality, he never detests you. See, this is where we get too deep on this thing. Because the truth is, when we talk about having series like these and we talk about sexual immorality and sexual perversion, so many times we end up taking an agenda and putting it on people. And so what do they think? They think the church is judging them because you're not telling them, listen, God detests that, but he never detests you. Because the truth is this, is even though God doesn't approve of things that we do, he never stops loving us. Come on, somebody. He never stops loving us. So even though God might detest pride, he never stops loving people. Even though God detests sexual immorality, he never detests you. He is a loving Father who wants the best for you. And listen, he is not mad with you because of what you struggle with. He is madly in love with you. And he desires to set you free and live and walk in purity in every part of your life. And I'll go a step further. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I struggle with sex and morality, nobody's mad at you right here at Maker's Church. Because we've all had things we've had to walk through. Come on, how many of you guys know we all used to be jacked up and broke down? All of us. Only by the grace of God have we ever become anything that God called us to be. And so just like God's not mad, Maker's Church is not mad. Well, Pastor, I struggle with these things. Do I have to stop coming? No, please never stop coming. Never stop coming. You are so welcome. Even if you can't figure it out and you're struggling and you're walking through things, we love you the way the Lord loves you, and we will gladly put our arms around you and walk with you. But I will tell you something. If you keep coming to God, you will eventually become who he wants you to be. You will eventually become who God wants you to become. And so, no, if God loves you, we love you. No one is condemning you. We are telling you the word of God, and we want God to transform all of us from the inside out. If you believe that, somebody say amen. But we must approach spirituality and sexuality through the lens of purity. We must pursue purity in every part of our lives. Let me give you one more text and we're gonna pray together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth and chase after all that is pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit, and live in peace with all those who worship our Lord Jesus with pure hearts. Chase after purity. Pastor, what happens if I'm chasing after purity and I fall down? That's why the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times, but they get up again. You get up and you keep chasing after purity. Pastor, am I chasing after perfection? No. But the good news is that even though you're not perfect, our Heavenly Father is perfect. And even when you might stumble and fall, he is right there with his love and his grace and his mercy to get you going. Because the truth is this, is God wants you to be pure more than you want to be pure. God wants you to live in the fullness of everything he has. But you have to say, I will choose to chase after purity. Come on, stand to your feet all over the room today.